Michael Wallace, overnight in Ukraine. Ukraine claims Russian airstrikes targeted energy infrastructure. The day after Vladimir Putin told President Trump Russia would stop attacking the power grid, Ukrainian President Zelensky, through an interpreter, says he will speak with Trump today.
I will be contacting President Trump today. We will be discussing the details. I think the details of the next steps.
The BBC's Steve Rosenberg in Moscow says Russia wants several conditions in any ceasefire agreement,
saying that the West has to stop arming Ukraine, that the West has to stop providing Ukraine with intelligence, and that Ukraine has to stop recruiting people for the army. Conditions that Ukraine simply will not agree to.
President Trump is doubling down on his criticism of the judge who temporarily blocked him from using the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to deport undocumented immigrants. He told Fox,
"We're supposed to be getting them out or getting them brought to justice. We had a judge, I would call him a rogue judge."
Trump has called for the judge to be impeached. After the sixth longest mission in NASA's history, astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore return to Earth safely.
Nick, Alex, Butch, Sonny, on behalf of SpaceX, welcome home.
Former astronaut Tom Marshburn explains what's next for them.
They'll be taken care of by NASA and the flight surgeons are going through the standard flow of that, getting their strength back, getting their nerve vestibular systems, their balance back, and all those things.
You may soon pay less for eggs.
The USDA says retailers now pay about $4 for a dozen large white eggs, down from $8 at the end of last month. Because eggs can last 4 weeks on store shelves, some stores may not lower their prices until their existing stock is sold. Shoppers in areas where there are a lot of competing stores should see lower prices sooner. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
The Federal Reserve wraps up a two-day meeting today. Here's CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It's widely expected that the Fed is not going to take any action. That would leave Fed funds, the benchmark rate, at 4.25% to 4.5%. So no changes on your credit card interest, no changes on those savings account interest rates, everything as is.
Alabama State notched its first ever NCAA tournament win last night with a last-second layup.
Simpson home run play, the deflection. Oh!
True TV with the call. In the other play-in game last night, North Carolina routed San Diego State. Stock futures a little higher this morning. Dow futures up 37. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. All told, it lasted about 30 seconds. This was the entirety of the Racine City Council meeting last night, gaveled in by Mayor Corey Mason.
Good evening, everyone. The hour of 6 o'clock having arrived on this 18th of March. It's now my honor to call to order the City of Racine Common Council meeting. We do have a number of absences and vacancies that exist for tonight. State law does require that two-thirds of a governing body must be present to have a quorum. We are at 6 out of 15. We do not have a quorum, therefore we cannot conduct our business tonight, and I am forced by state law to declare this meeting adjourned.
There were big plans for the meeting, with an agenda that included funding, planning, and a possible override of a veto. It's not exactly clear why there were so many absences. The second district is vacant for the time being. The council needed a two-thirds majority to override the veto that dealt with who gets to appoint committee members, the mayor or the council president. A wind advisory kicks in tonight. It'll be in effect for the area through tomorrow morning. Gusts could hit up to 45 miles an hour. There's other weather to be aware of. We'll look at the latest in the forecast coming up. Pleasant Prairie's Plan Commission has given the green light to Eli Lilly's $3 billion expansion plan. The project will add manufacturing and warehouse space to the existing facility they acquired in April of last year. The expansion is expected to create 750 new jobs in Kenosha County. The first of two big basketball games for Racine is at 6 tomorrow. WRJN will broadcast the two games featuring Racine's teams in the state high school basketball tournament. First up is the Prairie School. They take on Bondwell in Division 4. On Friday, Park faces Cedarburg at 1. It's the first state appearance in over 60 years for the Panthers. The winners advance to the championship game on Saturday, which will also air on this station if the Racine teams get in. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
The Packers add a receiver from the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers picking up a wide receiver and returner in free agency. He's Mecole Hardman, who earned three Super Bowl rings with the Kansas City Chiefs. Hardman, who turned 27 last week, suffered a knee injury last season. He'll sign a one-year deal with Green Bay. NBA, the Bucks losing last night at Golden State 104-93. Steph Curry sat out for the Warriors. The Bucks have lost five of their last seven games. March Madness underway. The Wisconsin Badgers arrived in Denver last night for tomorrow afternoon's game against Montana at 12:30.
I think quick turn, go play, right? Don't dwell on, hey, we got the championship game, we didn't get it done, now let's go on to next, we get to play in another one. We just focused on a 14-2 game tournament. We have to win Thursday if you want to get Saturday. You know, as I've always said, all the bad teams are probably waking up about right now on spring break, somewhere with their feet in the sand, and the really good ones are still playing.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy with rain, a few scattered thunderstorms, and becoming windy this afternoon. Our high today, 48. Tonight, rain will change to light snow. It'll be windy with some blowing snow. Around an inch of accumulation possible. Our low, 29. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now, 37.
During the summer, I tour with my kids, and we'll do like a kid activity during the day, and then I'll do a show at night. And usually the kid activity is like a zoo or a park. When we were in Erie, Pennsylvania, we went on a pirate boat ride, which was pretty authentic, because when I think of Lake Erie, I think of all them pirates storming the shores of Western Pennsylvania. There were like 50 kids. They were all dressed like pirates. I felt like I was at a children's Jimmy Buffett concert. And I tell you, those kids were having the time of their lives. Kids love to dress like pirates, the murderers and rapists that pirates were. And we think it's adorable. It's so cute. He looks just like one of those sociopaths who terrorized the Caribbean. We let our kids dress like murderers. Darth Vader, that genocidal lunatic. It's fun. The devil, it's cute. Hitler, no.
It is 7:08. His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, is with us, and thanks for joining us this morning. Want to pull that closer?
Yeah, good morning.
We want to hear every word you have to say this morning. Thank you for joining us. I know you're a busy guy, and you got to schlep in here when I ask, and it's very nice. I'm glad you do it.
Happy to do it.
Yes. Okay, so where do we stand in the city of Racine? What are the good things going on today? What are we working on? Let's get all that out of the way before we get to my list here.
Sure.
Before I forget what I wrote.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's going on that's good about the city of Racine right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a couple developments coming up that are pretty exciting. So it'll come up at the next council meeting, hopefully, if we get a quorum to meet. But we've got an expansion of the hotel in the downtown, Hotel Verdant. They want to put in a spa, and then they've bought some land on the river. And
how's that doing?
It's doing well. It's doing well. Okay, yeah. It always takes a little bit of time for them to ramp up. I mean, they knew it was going to take a couple years to get the you know, enough people leasing out ahead of time and booking weddings and stuff, but they've been pleased with it. And if people haven't been to the rooftop bar to check out the view of the downtown,
I might do that. I mean, now the weather's nicer.
It's open year round. They have a nice like wall of glass doors that open and close, so you can still enjoy it in the winter months, but it's really nice.
Somebody asked me if I stayed there yet, and I said, no, I live six blocks away from it. Right. No, I haven't stayed there yet. Right. But right. Yes, I do want to have dinner
but
there.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's a great view. You can, it's just, you know, you can look over one shoulder and see the Wind Point Lighthouse, look over the other shoulder and see the SCJ Research Tower. It's a great view of the lake and the river. So it's really added a lot to our downtown. They're doing well and want to expand, so we're excited about that. The Breakwater over on Lake, which is our newest market rate housing development downtown, which opened just at the end of last October, is already half full. So we're excited to see the occupancy going on there.
So, okay, so that occupancy is half full. How many rooms are in there? You know, how many apartments rather?
It's over 200. I would be guessing if I told you the exact number, but it's over 200, 200, 220, somewhere around there.
I remember when they were building it, you were in here, and I said, I got two levels. Are they going to put a third? They put a third. I said, they're going to put a fourth. They put a fourth. Every time you came in, you were adding a level.
It's going up and up. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's also got some spectacular views of the harbor. They've got a great community room there. And they managed to build it in such a way where almost all the rooms have a lake view. It might be out of the side of the building instead of the front. But not surprisingly, you know, it seems as though the apartments with the lake views filled up first.
Do you, ever get complaints when you build something that close to the lake where some other people saying, you just blocked my view?
Sure. I mean, there's always that. I mean, you know, there's some people who would, there's always the risk of when you do some development, somebody will say, boy, I'd rather you didn't, right? But, you know, we are a landlocked community. There is a real housing shortage that exists here in the city and regionally. And so, you know, moving forward, it means that buildings will probably be more dense and taller than they were before. But it was, you know, long ago, a place where they stored, you know, coal piles when they would come in off of the lake. So, you know, the city spent a good bit of time before even I came in as mayor cleaning the site up and getting it ready for redevelopment.
Was there a We Energies building there?
It was. Yeah, it was. Okay. Yeah. So first it was. And so We Energies sold the building to the city. Oh, gosh, must be 12, 15 years ago now. And, you know, Eric Hovde was the developer on it and stuck with it and was, you know, glad to have him down here to cut the ribbon on it, and it was great.
We talk about blocking views.
Yeah.
Rod Lancer, he was the comptroller for the city of Milwaukee. He also started Summerfest. He was the first director of Summerfest. He took my parents and I on a tour. He was putting together tours of Milwaukee, and he brought us to this skinny little house. It was called the Spite House. And what happened was he didn't get along with his neighbor, so he built a home. He bought a little plot of land, built a building, a little tiny building, just to block his view. Wow. And it's still there, and it's referred to as the Spite House because he built it for spite. This is not the Spite apartment building.
No, it's not. And I will say, I mean, you know, what's lining up behind it is a parking lot. And, you know, and what's nice that I really appreciate what they did is they also created some of the land next to it to create sort of some green space to go through. So it really helps connect Main Street if you go down, you know, 6th Street there to, or not 6th Street, sorry, 3rd Street there to connect. To better connect with the marina and the waterfront there. So they've created an easement for some public space to improve access that didn't exist there at all. So I think it's a good improvement. But anytime you do some development, people will say, gee, I remember when this used to be farm fields. Gee, I remember when there was nothing here. And, you know, I get that nostalgia.
I remember when the giant dinosaurs were roaming here. Right. I ask people this, in government and elsewhere, but we have one of the candidates in here for the 5th District, Janice Jorgensen, the other day asked him, do you know how long those white lines are in the road when you're traveling? You know, the divider lines, the dotted white lines. Do you know how long they are, each one?
Oh, I don't.
Take a guess. What would you think? How many feet?
5 feet.
See, I would have thought 2 or 3 feet, and I measured it. It's 12 and a half feet, and we had somebody in here from the from the building department, the road to construction. And you see, they're all built at 12 and a half feet. Huh? It does not look like 12 and a half feet.
It doesn't.
So I waited till Main Street was empty, no cars, and I went out there and I measured it. It was 12 and a half feet.
Sure enough.
I was shocked.
Wow.
I thought it was like 2 or 3 feet. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And then you see this. Okay. So that's what's good with the city we're seeing. Yeah, we're doing fine.
Yeah.
Money okay? We're doing okay? We're not broke or anything?
No. I mean, look, I mean, there's a lot going on with the federal government right now. And I will just say, as they're talking about freezing federal funds.
Is this, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this affecting you at all, the city?
I mean, Not yet, but there's just, I think everybody's waiting. I mean, if they really talk about doing the Medicaid cuts that they're talking about, that'll have real impacts to our public health department. If they're really talking about limiting federal funds, I mean, people don't, I mean, just take our transit department, for example, that's 80% federally funded, right? And so if those numbers start to diminish and go away, it makes it harder. I mean, the estimates are somewhere between 30 and 35% of the city's budget is federally funded, either directly from the federal government or through the state that hands out federal funds. So that makes it a real challenge on how to proceed. So, you know, we're certainly looking closely. I know Senator Baldwin will be here tomorrow, actually, to talk about her concerns about potential cuts to Medicaid. So that's real. But for the 2025 budget that passed last fall, we are fully funded. We've got things in place. The community center health clinic has broken ground and, you know, is beginning to be built. So we are moving forward on our priorities and we'll continue to do so. But, you know, there's certainly a lot of upheaval happening in Washington right now where cities across the country are really watching for, like, what does this mean moving forward?
Kind of scary.
It is. It is.
And I feel bad for people that are dependent on programs that they have no control over now.
That's right.
And, you know, you put these programs in effect, people depend on them. They set their lives in order based on these programs.
Yeah.
And then you snatch them away.
Yeah.
And not everybody's that savvy where they know how to get around it. They're stuck.
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot of unfeeling people in Washington that just don't care about people's feelings.
I think if you're removed enough from needing those services, you might just think, oh, there must be a lot of
waste. Yeah, I got a couple of million in the bank. Right, anybody, right. You know, everybody should take their millions and go buy their own insurance.
But the idea that we're going to have billionaires decide that the way we're going to pay for a big tax break for more millionaires and billionaires is by cutting aid from Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security or some of the other programs that people rely on. I think people voted last fall because they were upset about inflation and the high cost of groceries and wanted something fixed. I don't think people were signing up for having billionaires take away their benefits to pay for more tax breaks for really rich people.
So the price of eggs decided to...
Oh, my God. More than you think. I mean, I think people were really frustrated about it.
They put so much stock in the price of eggs. Did you see what I paid for a dozen eggs? Out! I want them out!
Yeah. I will also say this about government, because, I mean, you know, the city deals with the federal government all the time. And, you know, I'm not somebody to say that the way everything works in government is perfect. There's more bureaucracy than you'd like there to be sometimes. There's more, you know, hoops to jump through. I mean, as somebody who partners with the state and city and federal government all the time to bring resources here, there's a lot of work that goes into that. And you often think, boy, there's got to be an easier way to do this. I mean, you know, we'll use 1 out of 5 federal dollars from housing and urban development just to comply with all the rules, right? I'd much rather put that money into home repairs and some other programs than, you know, filling out paperwork for a bureaucrat in Chicago or Washington, D.C. So I think we should acknowledge the piece of it that's true is, could government work better? Could there be less red tape? Could it be more efficient? Yes. But that doesn't mean you take away people's healthcare benefits or their Social Security or the things that people rely on to be healthy and have some dignity in their old age.
That have no money to deal with it.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I'm very fortunate I can deal with it. A lot of people can't deal with it.
Yeah.
His Honor, the Mayor for Scene, Corey Mason, is here. More coming up with the mayor in just a moment. But first, here's Peter.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Gwyneth Paltrow says that she and Timothy Chalamet have a lot of sex together, in a new film, that is. In a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Paltrow talked about her new film, Marty Supreme. Chalamet plays a professional ping pong player and Paltrow his love interest. Throughout the interview, Paltrow tries to make ping pong sound sexy, like Chalamet's character learned on the streets. Gwyneth made a point to say there was no intimacy coordinator on the set and that they handled the love scenes themselves. Sources have not confirmed or denied that to enhance the mood on the set, Paltrow lit a whole mess of scented candles she used to sell that supposedly smelled like her private parts. Google it. It's real. Timothy Chalamet is also prepared to launch a personal product of his own. It's a mustache comb called One Day I Might Need This. Marty Supreme will be released Christmas Day of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With local news and now timeless hits, WRJN is all you need to keep up to date on news from Racine, Wisconsin and around the world. With Stuart J. Waddles in the Radio Park Newsroom and the statewide resources of the Civic Media Network and CBS, our commitment to keeping you informed is as strong as ever. For 98 years, Racine's source for local news and news from around the world. WRJN.
WRJN.
His Honor, just when I opened the microphone. His Honor, the mayor of Racine, Head Corey Mason, is here talking about a variety of topics. Here's one of our listeners wanted me to bring up. KID, which is, it's money for repairs for your homes. And his question was, why is his neighborhood not in it, but everybody else's neighborhoods are in it?
Yeah, well, it's not everybody else's neighborhood, but there are five what are called neighborhood tax increment districts that we have set up for people in those neighborhoods to do home repairs, to get their homes up to code or to do some improvement to their home. Those five districts roughly run between, one of them runs between Gould and Melvin, if you live over in that area. Another one sort of on the south side, Historic District, TID 23, and that runs between 12th and DeCoven, and as far east as Center Street, so if you're in that neighborhood. There's another one in the West Racine area, sort of if you're between Victory and Linderman and Washington and Ohio, that qualifies for some space.
And what do they get? What are they looking for?
Oh, it's a great question. Yeah, so what do you get? So you can get up to a $10,000 home repair loan.
It's a loan. You got to pay it back.
No, it's a forgivable loan. Like, you got to stay in the house. Okay. But you got to match. If you want to do an improvement, it's a one-to-one match. If you want to, you know, if you're lower income and you need to do a repair, like you need a new roof or something like that. But what we found is a lot of these neighborhoods, as we've seen houses fall into disrepair, you'll run into a homeowner who might be on a fixed income and say, look, I'd love to repair the roof or put on, you know, new steps on the porch, but I just can't afford it. And so what we were finding is it was a good way to reinvest in the neighborhood that helps maintain property values and stabilize the neighborhood and helps, you know, people be able to stay in their homes longer than they otherwise might. It's been a very popular program. The other TIDs are around the Spring Street corridor, basically from 38 to Spring. If you're in one of those areas, you can go to our City of Racine Housing Repair Program, and those are the $10,000 forgivable loans. We also have forgivable loans for everywhere else, but those are income qualified spaces. So you have to make less than 80% area median income to qualify there. So we do have loans and grants for just about everywhere. It might not qualify for everybody, but for just about everybody, if you need help with either a low interest loan or a forgivable loan/grant to do some home repairs. We want to invest in you and in the home that you own and live in to help stabilize the neighborhood and help people out with their home repairs.
Now, how do you decide which neighborhood to get these grants?
It's a great question. So state law dictates how you create what are called tax increment districts, right? And so, and the way that works, people will say, well, you're raising my taxes then. We're not. What we're basically saying is in these districts that we create, as the home values go up, instead of putting those taxes into the city for revenue, instead, we put it towards these home repair programs. And you do that for the course of 20-some years of the life of the TID, and you can really reinvest in those properties and make that happen. So we're basically taking the new value on the properties, the additional value on those properties, and reinvesting it into the neighborhoods. You create them, at least half the area has to be blighted. To qualify for a neighborhood tax increment district. But then the other part of it has to be doing well enough that the area is still increasing in value, right? So there's sort of a very we couldn't just pick anywhere to do a neighborhood improvement did. There are some areas that are not increasing in value, and that's a different set of problems, but TIDs wouldn't work there because there'd be no new revenue to capture. There are other areas that have no real blight in them at all, so there would be no justification to do it. So you kind of have to, it's sort of a Goldilocks approach to it. You know, the porridge can't be too hot, porridge can't be too cold, it has to be just right. So we've identified these neighborhoods that have some housing challenges but are still increasing in value, helped stabilize those neighborhoods, and really helps community members reinvest in those homes.
See, I can never be mayor. I can never be anybody in government because I don't know these things. And I understand you're explaining it, but I could never tell somebody, no, you're not getting money.
Well, again,
that's like I can't be on a jury. Yeah. I can't send someone to the gas chamber. Yeah, I could never do it.
Well, you have identified one of the most challenging parts about being a mayor. You know, you'd love to say yes to everybody all the time, any way you could, right? You want to help as many people as you can for as long as you can. But you don't always have all the resources or all the authority to do all the things that you like to do for everybody. But we, you know, these programs are going to put about $4 to $5 million a year back into home repairs in the community for decades to come. And we think that's going to help stabilize those neighborhoods. And again, if you don't live in one of those districts, but you need help with a home repair loan or a grant, we do have some for everybody else under some other programs. So if you're interested, I'd encourage people to give my office a call, 262-636-9111, and we can put you in the folks in touch with the folks in the development office and see how we might be able to help you out.
You know, my mother gave me advice when my daughter was born. She said, I did this with you and your brother. You can't say no every single time. Eventually, you're going to have to break down. Even though you don't want to, you've got to say yes every once in a while. Because if that child hears no every single time, they're just going to give up.
Yeah.
And you got to say yes sometimes. Yeah. And that's...
Well, last year, over 200 homeowners got to hear yes on doing some home repair grants. Yeah. So we're excited about the opportunities that that creates.
His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, is here. We have him for a few more minutes. We've got a clock, a drop-dead time for him to get out, so I'm going to stick to that. But right now, we've got the rest of the story with Paul Harvey, sponsored daily by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha, 75th Street and 30th Avenue. Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, also homemade candles and premium chocolate. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Paul Harvey coming up in just 30 seconds.
Easter is almost here. Celebrate with a stunning floral arrangement from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Cheerful tulips, elegant lilies, custom Easter baskets bursting with color. They have the perfect blooms to brighten any home or gathering. And don't forget to brand fine chocolates, a sweet treat for any Easter basket. Surprise someone special in the most beautiful way. Stop by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha today. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street, just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
The rest of the story. June 8, 1959, pre-dawn dark. Americans are sleeping peacefully, unaware that a great gray, sinister-looking something is slinking through Atlantic waters 100 miles off the coast of Florida. Forget for the moment that this is the Cold War era. For now, I simply want you to witness, as no one did, the awesome silhouette emerging into the nether light of that morning. It's a submarine, the submarine Barbaro. No spy mission, this. The Barbaro is armed. There's a guided missile aboard. And who might then have imagined that within hours that missile was to be fired directly at the mainland of the United States? Oh, yes, it was. And this is the rest of the story. The geographical remoteness of any kingdom or nation or continent has historically been a major factor in its ability to defend itself. Technology has changed all that. Technology has made the world accessible to its own farthest reaches as never before. One such equalizer was the Regulus 1 missile. It was the first of its country's strategic missiles to be deployed, actually operationally deployed aboard surface warships and submarines powered by turbojet. The Regulus 1 could deliver a nuclear warhead to a precise target 500 miles from its launch site. Then came that morning 26 summers ago. The submarine Barbaro glided silently through the ocean, 100 miles from the Florida coastline. Her iron domino deck glistened in the sunlight, and there, poised atop the striking figure of Regulus One. In those last minutes, crewmen scurried around her like ants on a delicious crumb of bread. Everything checked. The missile's payload was in place. Her sophisticated guidance system, capable of governing a number of flight profiles, was locked in. Her target? The Mayport Naval Auxiliary Station near Jacksonville, Florida. 10 minutes to launch. 5 minutes to launch. 5 seconds. And then the roar and the billows of smoke and the Regulus One missile was aloft and soaring westward at 600 miles an hour. Minutes later, it was all over. Regulus had found her target. Oh, yes. Precisely on target. Yet you never knew. For you see, the Barbaro was no foreign vessel. She was one of ours. A United States Navy submarine, and her crew intentionally launched a guided missile, an American guided missile, programmed to strike a mainland United States naval station, and it did. The missile did zero in on and hit that target precisely. However, its payload was not an instrument of destruction. For the records of the United States Postmaster General relate that on June 8, 1959, 3,000 posted letters, 3,000 of them, were airmailed to a naval post near Jacksonville, Florida, from an undisclosed location 100 miles east in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, officially airmailed in an experiment that had never taken place before, nor ever since. And that is so. And now you know the rest of the story.
And we have another rest of the story with Paul Harvey. Dan Marcus has one coming up 12:05 this afternoon right here at WRGN, where it's exactly 7:30 on the noggin. Let's check news this morning, and here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Another part of Racine is officially more historic. The Root River Parks have been officially added to the Wisconsin State Register of Historic Places. The parks, which include Island, Riverside, Cedar Bend, and Washington Parks, showcases the prairie style of landscape architecture. It was designed by landscape architect Jens Jensen between 1905 and 1914. A police pursuit in Racine early this morning ended with two suspects in custody after a chase through town. The pursuit, which began at about 2 a.m., involved a vehicle fleeing westbound on Linderman and Wright before heading south on Green Bay Road. The chase ended with spike strips on Bird near Becker. A man driving took off running but was caught. A female in the passenger seat was arrested. A 46-year-old Kenosha woman with a history of violent offenses has been charged with attempted homicide. It's after she allegedly attacked her roommate with a rubber mallet. Jessica Lentz is currently on probation for a recent drug offense. She now faces over 70 years in prison if convicted of the alleged assault Monday at a home on 14th Avenue. Oak Creek's Common Council has given the green light to zoning changes that could bring a massive Buc-ee's to the city. The proposed 73,000-square-foot facility slated for the southwest corner of I-94 and Elm Road would include 120 gas pumps. While the project does face opposition from people living in the area, city officials are proceeding with the plan. They're targeting an early 2027 opening pending further approvals. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
A lot of beef producers are talking about the money they're getting for even baby calves. But is it costing the industry in the long run? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. You know, margins are still tight, even in these lofty prices for beef. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says some of the smaller beef processing plants are actually closing because of it.
One thing we do need to watch, though, we did have a small plant. Now it was mostly a cull cow plant in South Dakota. Closed its doors yesterday because financially it just isn't going to work in the longer run for some of these packers with these types of cash values versus even though the retail boxes are high that they get paid back on. It's just the profit margins aren't there. And that might be something that this industry could see as some consolidation in the packing industry. That could be one of those signals that maybe prices have been too high too long here in the cattle market and could signal a bit of a top.
Cautionary words from John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Markets are lower as we begin a Wednesday morning. I've got the details next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Yesterday, during National Ag Day, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins announced they're speeding up $10 billion of direct aid to agriculture producers. Some of the details include corn growers being eligible for the program with a payment rate of $42.91 an acre for their 2024 crop year. Paperwork should be coming from your local Farm Service Agency office, or you can check in with them as well. Lower markets this morning in Chicago. December corn's down a penny at 453. November beans unchanged. July wheat's down a penny at 581. Barrel cheese dropped a nickel and a half yesterday at 157. 40-pound block cheese was down 7 at 157 and a half. And AA butter down 0.75 cents at 229 and a half. I'm Pam Yonke.
Cloudy with rain, a few scattered thunderstorms, and becoming windy this afternoon. Our high today, 48. Tonight, rain will change to light snow. It'll be windy with some blowing snow. Around an inch of accumulation possible. Our low, 29. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
I hate cookouts, man. Stay away from cookouts. If you like me, you stay away from cookouts. I don't like my family come by the house. The relatives I ain't seen, like, since the last cookout. You got certain relatives you just see at the cookout, and they get on your nerves every year. My Uncle Gus come by the house every year. My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill and don't let nobody touch the grill when he's around. As soon as he walk in the house, it's like, get away from that grill. You know how to start no fire. You know how to start no fire. Put this fire out. This ain't no fire. I mean, Eddie, go over there and give me all that wood. I need half a tree. Chop that tree down over there. Chop down that tree and give me the wood from that tree over there. And Charlie, go give me 2 gallons of gasoline out of the shed. Need 2 gallons of gasoline. You kids roll up your shirt, put that on the grill. We're going to start a fire. Come on, you want to eat? You want to eat? Then shut up there. Put that on the fire. Okay, put that wood inside there. Okay, give me the gasoline, Charlie. Hold the match. Well, I tell you, Charlie, throw the match on the gasoline, all right? Well, I tell you, all right? We're going to make a fire. We're going to eat it, right? Y'all want to eat? We're going to eat now. Here we go. Pour the gasoline on here like this. There. We need the whole. Get that damn lighter fluid out there. That lean on this wood and make a fire. We're gonna eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Charlie, throw the match. Now that's a fire. That's a fire. Look at that. Look at that. He be all right. Roll Charlie around. Roll him around. Here.
You gotta love Eddie Murphy.
You do. He's funny.
Roll him around on the ground. He'll be fine. And there is always that one relative who wants to take control of the grill.
Yeah.
Give orders on how to do stuff. His Honor is here. The mayor of Racine, Corey Mason. Want to talk about the elections coming up April 1st. There's a lot of things on the ballot. There's referendums on the ballot.
Yeah.
And people even knocking on my door. You know about that referendum? Yeah, but I want to know. Here's what I want. Do I vote yes or no to get that to happen? And that's the trouble with some of the referendums.
Yeah, when both of them, you do vote yes. So I want to talk a little bit about the fire department referendum. So we have a federal grant that ends in the year ahead that funds 9 of our firefighters, right? And so we've had it for a few years. The grant ends. We really need to maintain those 9 firefighters. If we don't have those 9 firefighters, it makes response times take longer. And it's relatively cheap, right? It's about $30 a year for every $100,000 value of your home. So for most people, it's, you know, $3 or $4 a month that it might impact their taxes to make sure that we've got good and safe response times from the fire department. The fire department does a great job. Their calls for service have gone up. So we're getting more and more calls in a given year. We really need those 9 firefighters to stay in place. So if you want to make sure that we can get to your house timely, if a loved one needs an ambulance or, God forbid, there's a fire that we need to deal with, please vote yes on that referendum.
Okay, so that one's, if you want the firefighters,
vote yes.
Vote yes. Yes. Okay. What else is it? You know, the other referendum?
There's the school referendum as well. And so that's to add resources to the school district. You know, for whatever reason, the state has not done its fair share of sending enough resources back to school districts like Racine that have needs. And so the school district's essentially saying they need more resources just to maintain the level of staffing and education that they have now. So another important measure, if you care about the public schools and making sure our kids have a chance to get a decent education and bounce back from the COVID and everything else, we really need to invest in those schools. So if you believe in those things and want our kids to have successful public schools, and frankly, you know, as we're trying to get people to live in Racine or stay in Racine, how people feel about those schools really matters. That's what a lot of families look at before they decide to live somewhere. They'll tell me what the schools are like.
Right? You know, when I sold real estate for a short time, two questions. What's the house made out of? And how are the schools?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an important thing. If we want to keep people here, we want to recruit families to want to live here, you really got to invest in public schools.
Okay. So the answer, if you want to invest in the public school referendum.
Is yes.
Is yes. And the reason, the mayor and I were talking about this off the air, sometimes they're written in such a way where if you answer yes, well, then you meant no. If you no, right. then you meant yes. And that's why I get so confused on these. And I'm sitting there reading these things like I didn't get out of grammar school, and I'm looking at every word just to make sure I got it. Then I get done, and my wife says to me, well, you didn't vote yes, did you? That means you voted no.
Right. So, I mean, I will say they're worded in a clunky sort of way. State statutes requires that the city and the school district write them that way.
It's written in the laws, must be clunky?
Almost. No, it's actually the language you have to use is actually, the verbiage is actually listed in the statute. So we have to sort of copy and paste that and then insert the numbers as they may need to appear. But yeah, it does create a challenge. The other thing I guess I'll say about the fire referendum, like, well, if I vote for this, are you guys going to spend it on something else? No, by resolution, it can only be spent on maintaining those positions and making sure that we've got a good fire department that can respond to emergency calls when people need it.
Okay, and finally this morning, Stuart J. Waddles in our news was talking about the meeting last night. He didn't have a quorum.
Yeah.
The thing was over in 30 seconds, the meeting. What was that all about? What's going on there? Because I don't understand it. And I heard Stuart explain it, and I still don't understand it. And I went to college, and I don't understand
it. Right. So the way the state law works for any city council to meet, 2/3 of the elected officials have to be there to have quorum. There's other committees or, you know, nonprofit boards you might be on where you have to have half the people there to have quorum, but under state law, it's 2/3. So we have 15 members of the council with 15 aldermen who get elected around the city. If 10 of them aren't there, we can't have a meeting. So this is the second meeting in a row where we've had enough absences that we couldn't convene a meeting. And so that's,
what was the meeting about?
We had a number of things. We had a couple of developments up. We had a number of proposals to go through. We had grants to apply for. I mean, it's a normal course of meeting. It's usually a 16-page agenda with quite a few things on there. There were liquor license items on there. There were a number of things on the agenda that we needed to approve, and some of them are timely. So, you know, we need people to be able to. And look, I get some people can get sick, and I think that's what happened in some cases. I've missed meetings in the past because I've been sick. I'm still getting over. You can hear my voice a little bit, the neurovirus that was going around.
Oh, great.
So that can happen.
Let me get the Clorox wipes.
But I will say, you know, if the council is going to function, we do need people to show up so that we can conduct our business.
So why wouldn't somebody show up? I'm not saying that you're right. They could be sick. They could have had an emergency. Why would they not show up? What would be the purpose?
I think you would have to ask them. Why? I mean, I can't speak for the other alders. I just know for us to do the work, we have to actually show up. I mean, there was a time earlier last year where they were intentionally not showing up to pursue an agenda that they wanted to get done. I hope it's not a return to some of that. But, you know, we need people to show up and show up for work to do the work of the people. And I hope that this is we're not going to see a third meeting where we can't conduct business because people don't show up to do their job.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You know, I told you you'd be out by 1:45.
And minutes to spare. So.
And I keep my word just to have a seat. Yeah. His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, glad to see you in here. By the way, how's your new office staff?
They're great. Yeah,
because Ellen in the office retired.
So we got a great new guy named Nick Wilchin. Shout out to Nick. He's a Coast Guard guy who's was working to the Milwaukee DA's office before he came to us. He's doing a great job. So if you call my office, Nick's very friendly. So shout out to Nick, and he's been great in keeping me on the straight and narrow, and you know, sent me the text message early this morning. Don't forget, you've got to be on WRJN by 7 a.m. So I appreciate that very much.
Did he send you the picture?
Yes, he did. He did.
Our little Facebook picture of you?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. We send that out every day. Mayor, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day, everyone.
And I'll see you next month. All right, at 7:43, local news, Timeless Hits, WRJN. Looking for some rain and thunderstorms today. Highs near 44, snow and rain tonight. Lows around 30. Tomorrow, clearing. Highs near 40. Cloudy, 38 degrees right now here at Radio Park.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. Celebrate 2 years of Just Brew It in Union Grove, serving up your favorite beverages and treats.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of fresh beverages. From handcrafted coffees to soul-soothing boba teas, each sip is a tale of a flavor and community carefully curated to fuel your day. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals banner, and purchase $20 worth of gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Craving fresh, flavorful signature subs or chef salads? Lee's Deli has just what you need. You'll find them at Twins Food Mart on 16th and Packard, Elite Mini Market on Washington Avenue, Taylor Mart on Taylor Avenue, and now Cristiano Supermarket at 2054 Kearney Avenue. Or visit the shop on Washington Avenue and enjoy a hot sandwich that's fit for a king. Hot ham and cheese, Reuben, meatball sub, and more. Why settle for ordinary when you can have extraordinary? Lee's Deli, for over 50 years, serving Racine one meal at a time.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Wisconsin workers deserve a living wage and the right to negotiate with employers on wages and benefits. That right was taken away from a lot of Wisconsin workers in 2011, and we now have a chance to fix that. This is an issue that our state Supreme Court will hear soon. There is also a state Supreme Court election coming up on April the 1st. If you want to see Wisconsin workers given back the right to negotiate with employers for fair wages and benefits, research the two Supreme Court candidates. Decide which candidate is more likely to uphold your rights and which one is more likely to leave you with fewer rights and lower wages. Rich mega donors are spending millions on negative ads. We don't need that in Wisconsin. Just tune them out and turn them off. And read what the candidates themselves have said. Make sure you're registered to vote and know your voting location. Your vote could be the difference on April 1st to help ensure your economic future. Paid for by Economic Equity Now.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Lansing local news. Tamless hit to WRJN. I want to thank the mayor for coming in. Very gracious to be in here. I know he's a busy guy, and he takes time out of his early morning hours to come in. We do appreciate the mayor coming in. 7:49, and WRJN is pleased to present state high school basketball this week. Two local teams playing in the tournament Thursday evening at 6. Racine Prairie School plays Bonduel. That's in Division 4. Friday at 1 o'clock, Racine Park makes their first state appearance in over 60 years against Cedarburg. The winners of those games go on to the championship game on Saturday, and WRJN will be there too. These great sponsors support our local teams and hope you'll join them in cheering them on to a championship. Lee's Deli, serving up tasty rewards and Racine's best sandwiches for over 50 years. Studebaker's Fuel and Food. Let me get that right. Studebaker's Food and Fuel, Highway 31 in Spring Street, where fast meets fantastic. And Easy Mobility Solutions, Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted source for power mobility. Easy Mobility Solutions. I want to thank those sponsors for sponsoring our high school sports with Dick Graceffa, and I'm glad we're doing it. Yes, it's exciting. Two Racine teams. We'll see who goes to the state tournament. That's great. Again, this Thursday at 6 p.m. and Friday at 1 p.m., a rare afternoon game, but we want to make sure we get that in for you. And don't forget, guess who's back? Yeah, the Racine Raiders, every Saturday night beginning May 3rd here on WRJN. All right, here's a story that I don't get. A company in Spain wanted to honor a 69-year-old employee for working there so long. Then they realized he hadn't shown up for work in 6 years while still cashing paychecks. And my question is, how does that even happen? 7:50, local news, timeless hits, only here at WRGN. Here's Tom Jones.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. She knows me through and through, and she knows just what to do and how to please me. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about the little lady. And the lady is mine. Yeah, yeah, she's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Listen to me, people, she's a lady.
News and timeless hits at WRJN. Tom Jones, she is a lady. Hey, listen for details this week on our next WRJN statewide text to win contest. Lots of fun qualifying prizes every day and a great grand prize, too. Download the Civic Media app to play along. Details on the way, on the air, and online at WRJN.com. I see crooks are really trying innovative ways to do horrible things to people. Cops in Tennessee are looking for four people who robbed a store at Snake Point. That's right, Snake Point. They used two pythons to threaten the cashier. That I never heard of before. That's got to be new. Rain and thunderstorms in the forecast today. Got a high of 44 expected. Snow and rain. Lows around 30 tonight. Tomorrow, a clearing. Highs near 40. Right now, it's 39. It's cloudy at Radio Park. You got to me. Here's Neil Diamond.
Mama, she always told me it would happen. She never said that it would happen like this. Mama said some little girl will catch you napping. Some little girl will get to you with a kiss. But you got to me, brought me to my knees. Never thought I'd say please, girl.
You got to me,
got to my soul.
You got to me,
you got control.
You got to me,
you got to me, you got to be mine. Slip through every girl's hands like water. Never was one who could ever tie me down. Straight ahead and steady as you brought her. Till you brought me tumbling to the ground. You got to me, you brought me to my knees. Never thought I'd say please, girl.
You got to me,
got to my soul.
You got to me.
You got control.
You got to me.
You got to me. You got to be mine. All right. Never thought I'd say please, girl.
You got to me,
got to my soul.
You got to me,
you got control.
You got to me,
you got to me, you got to be mine.
You got to me, Neil Diamond. Local news, timeless hits, WRJN. Someone in Minnesota told cops he saw a guy walking down the street of the road with a shotgun. And when they looked at him, he tried to hide it. But it turned out it was a walking stick. And the only reason he tried to hide it was he was embarrassed because he was playing air guitar on the walking stick. And people were watching him and he got nervous. All right, it happens.
I hear your warm and rhythmic breathing. I take your hand and hold it tightly. Listen, can you not hear our young hearts beating? I kiss the sleep from your eyes. Your smile is sweeter than the morning. And I hear it come. Can't you feel it, baby? Or can't you feel it? I hear it come. Feel it. I think it's love. And now the sun is burning brightly.
lie in love so close together. I get the feeling deep inside me my love for you will burn forever. I cup my hands to touch your face, and once again I feel your fire. Here it comes. Can't you feel it, baby? Can't you feel it? Here it comes again. Feel it, feel it. Fire, fire. Something burning, something burning. I think it's love, and I think it's love.
Kenny Rogers in the first edition. That's right. He was actually in a group before he did the solo stuff. It's 8 o'clock on the noggin right now. Good morning. Oh, oh, me.